Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Cupid's Pack by Kelsey Gamble, narrated by Helena Walters and Soren Gray. Chapter 1. Quinn.
Do you think I would look cute with bangs?
My sister, Ariel, sweeps into my work studio with the front pieces of her pitch-black hair folded in the shape of faux bangs. I let go of Indy's golden blonde locks and swing around toward the door, pointing my scissors at Ariel. For the last time? Absolutely not. The last time you talked me into cutting your bangs, you told me you hated me afterward and then hid in your room crying for a week.
I'm older now, she protests.
Her face screws up a little, cheeks coloring pink in a way that melts my heart, but only the tiniest bit. I'd do anything for her, but I'm not ready for a nuclear meltdown. Indy and I share an amused look in the mirror when I turn back toward her. We both remember that the bangs fiasco was only 3 years ago. Ariel might be older, but not by much, and not enough to convince me to make that mistake again.
Why don't you order fake bangs online first and try them out?
Indy suggests. Ariel purses her lips thoughtfully, and I fight the urge to lean down and wrap my arms around Indy's neck in thanks. My hero, my wolf tells my best friend across the silent mind link connection between us. Already, I know a lot of tears have been saved with the suggestion. I'm sure my mom won't be thrilled about us encouraging Ariel's online shopping habit, but maybe I can get the front gate guards to intercept the package when it comes, so we can collect it in secret later. What's the harm in one little package if it saves me a month's worth of headaches? The tinkling of the bell above the door to the studio pulls my attention away from Indy again, and I regard my mother as she strolls toward us in a stiff pink dress. I should have known I'd find both of you here, she says easily. A slight smile tugs at her lips. I try not to let it hurt my feelings that she's already done her hair, a stray sticking out of the side of the updo. I've asked her 100 times to let me help her with her hair when she has important meetings. Pushing away the urge to feel sorry for myself, I grab the hairspray and make my way to her. I'm finishing up Indy's layers. Do you need us? Yes, actually. I'm surprised to hear her admit it so openly. I've always helped a lot. But since my dad died 4 years ago, she's been reluctant to ask. I wind up helping behind her back, despite the fact that it can be thankless work. But that's what families do, right? The guards are sending a young woman up for our help, but I have a special appointment arriving soon. Mom continues as I spritz her hair and tuck the flyaway pieces into the updo. My hands still as she continues. Can you see that the woman is taken care of? If it's anything you can't handle, have her sit tight and I'll deal with her when my appointment is over. Fighting to keep my face neutral as she speaks is a testament to the control I've wrestled over my expressions in the years since my father passed. I'm surprised to hear her speak so clinically of a woman coming to ask for her help. But it's not my place to question her, so I choose my words carefully.
Who's the appointment?
Ariel blurts out with none of the tact I planned on. Mom nervously rubs her lips together for a moment before she answers. His name is Jacob McKay of the Red Ash Pack.
Is it an appointment or a date?
Ariel asks, her voice laced with suspicion. I press my lips together tightly, lost somewhere between laughing at my sister's ridiculousness and chastising her before Mom does.
Ariel.
Mom's sharp voice slices through the air, and Ariel wilts a little, shoulders slumping and eyes falling dutifully toward the floor. It is not that kind of appointment. Jacob McKay has paid a large sum for us to find him a mate urgently. There's nothing inappropriate about it.
Sorry,
Ariel mutters. She doesn't look up from the floor, but the way her shoulders straighten tells me my precocious little sister isn't that sorry. I press my lips even tighter together, lest the chuckle bubbling in my throat actually spills over. I know better than to laugh, but Ariel's antics are one of the reasons I love her so damn much. There's never a dull moment with her around, much to Mom's chagrin. My mom does have quite the voice for chastising us. It's sharp and stern all at once, and she's never been afraid to pull it on us when needed. Despite the chastising tone, I notice her cheeks tinge the slightest shade of pink. She's not angry about Ariel's question. She's embarrassed by it. I can't help but wonder if that means there's someone Mom is dating, if she's that sensitive about the topic. Admittedly, it'd be a nice change of pace. There's no time to ask about it now, though. She's already trying to walk away, knowing Ariel and I will handle the woman coming our way. After all, that's what we do. Follow the orders of our Luna, no matter what. Wait. I touch Mom's shoulder to stop her, so I can use the hairspray to tame errant strands on the other side of her head. She looks down at me with affection shining in her eyes as I fuss over her. There. Perfect. I was thinking the same thing about you, her wolf tells me. She runs her hand across my cheekbone. I want to revel in the tender moment. They've seemed fewer and far between these past few months. I can't help but begrudgingly feel that the more I do, the less my mom seems to notice. In the beginning, I blamed it on her grieving, but it's only seemed to get worse with time. Still, I get more of her affection than Ariel does. I glance over at my younger sister to find she's looking pointedly away from the moment between our mom and me. Guilt gnaws at my gut, followed quickly by the heavy feeling of shame. Annoyance follows at the very end, and I chew the inside of my cheek, trying and failing to convince myself that it's not my fault Mom has been harder to handle the past few years. Hey, Ariel. I turn my focus to my sister, ignoring my mom's exit. Why don't you finish up Indy's hair for me, and I'll go see to our visitor? Her eyes light up, and relief loosens the heavy emotions in my stomach. I grin as she asks, Are you sure it's okay? She looks hopefully at Indy, who gives her two thumbs up and sneaks a wink my way. Of course. Indy wags her finger at Ariel, and I laugh as she tacks on, But no bangs. I swear. Ariel crosses her finger over her chest. Indy launches into a repeat explanation of how she wants the length of her layers. Even though Ariel is only 15, I trust her implicitly. She's basically been my apprentice since she became a teenager. And even if she messes up, Indy is forgiving enough to let me fix it and go on as if nothing happened. I owe you one. I mind link Indy as I leave them to it. You owe me a few, she jokes. I'll collect someday, and you'll be sorry. I know she isn't serious. The two of us have been thick as thieves since we were barely old enough to walk. It's true that Indy has done me more favors these past few years than I've done for her, but I'm determined to even the score as soon as I can think of an adequate way to help her in return. If only she would let me help her find her the perfect mate, but she steadfastly refuses that service each and every time I offer it. For those of us in Cupid's pack, the mate bond is more complicated than for others. Most of our pack members never leave the safety of the low stone wall that surrounds our small community. It's the pack Luna, presently my mom, who helps the wolves find their mates instead. Sometimes she goes out searching, and less frequently, she's left with no choice but to force a bond. Shifters aren't meant to live alone. We are social creatures with the need for a mate bond to help us build strong partnerships and families. The mate bond is the most sacred thing a wolf ever does. There are some purists who don't believe we should manipulate bonds, and some days, I think my mom might agree with them. But every year, we seem to have fewer new bonds. This year, I've helped more unmated shifters than my mom has. She seems to be more and more obsessed with the idea of finding the pack member's one true mate lately. I'm trying to understand it for her sake. I know her role means everything to her. But I can't help but feel that sometimes she's hurting some of the shifters more than she's helping them. And nothing drives that worry home more than seeing the evidence of it in real time. I reach the front gate to find Dennis, the most gentle of the guards, hovering over a fraught woman who can't be more than a few years older than me. "I can take it from here," I tell him, putting myself between them. Dennis has a heart of gold, but the woman curls in on herself, like she's afraid of him as he hovers. I don't have to ask why. Her clothes are half shredded, and there's an obvious scratch from a wolf's claws running across her right leg. It's red and angry, like infection has set in around the cut, despite her rapid healing.
"Are you Moira?"
the woman asks between sniffles.
"I'm her daughter, Quinn."
I speak softly, knowing it will help her feel comfortable.
"You can tell me your name when you're ready. Do you think you can make it up to that house with me?"
I point out my family home. The quaint, two-story home sits unassuming at the front of the neighborhood. The woman nods and, in a quiet voice, says,
"I'm Regan."
"Welcome to Cupid's Pack, Regan. Let's get to the house and we can talk about what you need, okay?" I already know I don't want to deny this woman anything. She takes a shaky step to follow me toward my house, and after a moment, she clutches my arm and leans into me slightly, as if she needs to borrow some strength. I would give her every ounce that I have if I could. My heart aches for the obvious pain behind her eyes. I watch Regan out of the corner of my eye as we make our way into the house, following the hallway into the kitchen. I don't want to make her uncomfortable by openly staring, but I'm trying to take in as many details as possible. Her strawberry blonde hair is pulled back from her face in a messy braid, showing me a woman who feels exposed and raw as she sits down at the dining room table. We're both silent as I patter around the kitchen to fix her a cup of warm tea and a sandwich. Sometimes it's easier for people to talk when they have somewhere else to put their hands and attention. I learned this little trick by watching my mom with Ariel and me. She uses the same technique when she's trying to get us to spill our guts to her. "I hope you like turkey," I tell her as I slide the plate and mug in front of her. "Tomorrow is grocery day, so the options are unfortunately a bit scarce. My mom didn't stock the kitchen again, so Ariel or I will have to do it. It's just another problem to push to the back of my mind until I can deal with it later."
"Turkey is good,"
she says quietly, already reaching for the sandwich. Most women who come here, upset the way she seems, are hesitant to take the food. My mind spins through the possibilities of what could have happened to her to leave her so desperately hungry that she immediately dives in. I let the silence fall between us again,
giving her a chance to eat before I start asking questions. She doesn't seem to notice the silence until she's scarfed most of the sandwich, and she looks up at me with guilt shining in her eyes. Fear rests just behind the guilt, and my stomach churns violently at the thought of what she's likely suffered through before finding her way here. "I'm sorry," she mumbles around a half-chewed bite. "Oh, don't ever be sorry for eating in this house. Our favorite thing to do here is feed people. It's the easiest way to serve others, keeping them fed. When my dad died, Ariel and I asked the pack to let us cook for them instead of vice versa, to keep us busy while we grieved." She swallows the rest of her bite and picks up the mug. "Thank you," Regan mumbles before taking a small sip of the tea. She sighs, seeming to melt in her seat as she sips. With each passing second, she grows less tense, shoulders loosening and falling as the shake disappears from her hands. "Do you think you're ready to tell me what happened?" Based on the nasty look of her leg, it's bad. Once I find out more and make sure she's comfortable, I'll need the pack doctor to look her over. Regan shudders, and my heart breaks for her a little more. "I guess I have to." "You don't," I tell her fiercely. The last thing I ever want to do is force someone into something they're not comfortable with. I steadfastly believe in agency and a person's right to wield it. "If you don't want to talk about anything, I can still give you a safe place to rest here for as long as you need it." "I have to tell you because I need your help." She sets the mug on the table harder than necessary, a little tea spilling out over the edge onto the table. She glances at the spill and nervously tugs at her braid. "Don't worry, this table has seen a lot worse," I reassure her, fighting to keep a supportive smile on my face. A slight surge of anger toward whoever put this fear in her builds in my heart, and I clench my hands into fists under the table. She clasps her hand and drops them into her lap, closing her eyes when she speaks. "My mate is unkind. He works under our pack's beta, running a grocery chain, but our beta doesn't respect him, and it's obvious. Every day when my mate comes home, he's angry, and he..." She trails off. I don't need any help filling in the blank. "Regan," I abandon my seat across from her and move to the chair beside her. I don't touch her, knowing better. So I silently send as much love and positivity her way as I can muster as I say, "I know you came here with an end in mind. Tell me what you want."
"I don't know."
She's choked up, tears lining her eyes silver as she averts her gaze. "It's okay. Whatever you came here for is okay. I promise. Cupid's pack has a lot of friends, and that means a lot of packs willing to protect shifters once they leave here. Do you understand what I'm saying?"
"Quinn, I don't want to be his mate anymore,"
she blurts out. My heart crumples for her as she drops her head to her hands and sobs.
"I can't face him and reject him. He'll kill me before he'll let me go through with it."
She's not the first shifter to come to us looking to sever her mate bond, but I think she is the youngest. Most young wolves reject the mates they don't want, though it's rare. And most of our visitors coming here are desperate for a mate, not desperate to get away from one. I wish I could open a black hole around the man who hurt her and swallow him whole, especially since it's clear that based on the injury to her leg, he didn't limit himself to hurting her in human form. A wolf attacking a human is atrocious, even more so when it's their own mate. Sometimes fate is unfathomably cruel. "Look at me, Regan. I wait until she lifts her head and swipes away the tears trickling over her cheeks. Your mate bond ends today. I have to go upstairs and grab something. I'll be right back. But while I'm gone, you need to think about what you want tomorrow to look like, okay? It's time to start the rest of your life. Your life will be yours again.
Thank you.
She sniffles, but I can already see the signs that she's trying to collect herself. Her shoulders straighten, and she swallows thickly as she wipes more furiously at her cheeks and eyes. Regan is one of the strong ones. She's going to survive. As I take the stairs two at a time to my bedroom, I can't help but feel guilty wondering how many shifters out there won't survive. How many of them will never make it to Cupid's Pack for help? How many will we never have the chance to save? Chapter 2. Quinn. Let me guess. Indy breezes into my room, her layers just as perfect as I expected, and throws herself down on my bed. You've saved someone else in the name of true love. She loves to tease me, but I don't miss the hint of longing in her eyes. Asking for the 100th time to let me help her find her mate won't fix the longing in her eyes, so I bite my tongue. Something like that, I offer instead, smiling as I finish tucking my heartstone away in my desk drawer. My eyes catch on the roughly heart-shaped stone, and my heart tugs at the thought of my dad. I shove the door shut, letting my thoughts sour as I do. I'm not so sure that true love and the mate bond are always the same thing, but I'm not ready to voice my trepidation to her just yet. I don't know why I feel an edge of melancholy today. I seem to be thinking about my dad more than usual, too, which feels eerily like a bad omen. I just can't quite put my finger on where the feeling is stemming from. Are you okay? Indy asks as she takes a step toward my bed, more intuitive than I give her credit for. Yeah, I say, waving off her concern, and she plops on my bed heavily. I hesitate before asking, do you know where Ariel went? Indy rolls her eyes and groans as she lets her head fall back on my sheets. She went to try to eavesdrop on your mom at the bell tower. I tried to tell her it was a bad idea, but she's adamant she knows hiding spots there no one else will ever find. The bell tower? Mom usually meets in her office at home. I didn't even realize she wasn't here. You're sure she went to the bell tower? Yeah. You know that kid Nick? The one whose father was. I cut her off. I love her, but now isn't the time for gossip. If I let her start, who knows when she'll stop. Mated to the school teacher. Yes, he has a massive crush on Ariel. I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. Yeah, he does. Indy grins wide, amusement coloring her tone as she says, and he was hanging around outside the studio when Ariel and I got done. He noticed your mom was meeting someone at the bell tower and assumed Ariel would be free to hang out since she's not home. The more protective side of my wolf rears her head. I'm not sure I like that, she mutters with a tut. Neither am I, to be fair. Why can't he hang out with her when Mom is home? Seriously, Indy snorts. Your mom protects the two of you like a rabid dog, as if you're supposed to stay snow white pure until your fated mates magically appear out of thin air. She's not wrong. My mom has grown more protective of Ariel and I over the years, keeping us busy and at home more. She's in trouble if she thinks that will stop boy-crazy Ariel, though. She rotates through crushing on the most eligible boys in her class about once every 3 weeks. I hum to myself, distracted. It isn't often that Mom meets with guests at the bell tower, the building she unofficially works out of near the center of town. It's where she takes the shifters she's unsure of. Strange, considering she acted like today's guest was worth dressing up for.
Don't tell me you want to go spy, too. We haven't done that since we were little kids.
Indy arches her eyebrow as she looks over at me with a wicked smile. If I said the word, she would go all in with me. I almost say yes, but the wistful part of me withers to nothing and logic takes back over. Absolutely not. Whatever is going on with my mom at the moment, I don't want to be a part of it.
My dangling arm brushes the rolled paper sticking up out of my pocket.
I actually need to drop this paperwork off to Megan because she's doing transport tomorrow for the woman I met with. Do you want to tag along? I might go to the grocery store afterward.
Indy's eyes light up and she jerks upright on the bed, hands going to her hair to smooth it.
Do you think Trey is working?
Probably.
He's always working, since the grocery store is his pride and joy. It's not often the local places beat the big box stores, but he managed to run one out of our little community when he opened up shop. Cupid's pack, like all packs, has its flaws. But no one dare say we're not loyal to our own. I turn my head toward the floor, hiding my sad smile behind a curtain of my pink hair. Not for the first time. I wish the fates weren't so cruel and had made Trey my best friend's fated mate. It would have made her infatuation easier to watch.
I would have dressed better if I knew we were going to the grocery.
Indy looks down at herself and purses her lips at the simple jeans and t-shirt that meet her gaze. Her eyes swing back up to me, and I can read the panicked urgency in them.
Can I wear something of yours just this once?
The pleading look in her eyes pains me. I protect my wardrobe at all costs, even from Ariel's sticky fingers. My eclectic collection of clothes is a point of pride for me. Every piece is carefully chosen to curate outfits in every style across the spectrum. I own everything from 60s housewife style dresses to strappy outfits that could pass for bondage gear. As a person, I'm dependable and maybe even a little boring sometimes, but my outfits, they're bold and never boring. And my style is the only thing I have in my life that's all mine.
Just this once,
Indy digs in, sticking her bottom lip out in a comical pout. I don't love the term puppy dog eyes, all things considered, but there's no other way to describe the way she stares at me, eyes wide and pleading. Fine. I point to the closet with one hand and cover my eyes with the other.
Just this once. Do your worst.
It barely takes her 60 seconds before she chirps,
done.
I open my eyes and try not to gape at her. I know. She holds her hands up.
But hear me out. There's no way he can ignore me in this. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
She throws her hands up and spins in the neon pink bodycon dress. She looks good in it. And she's right. There's no way Trey will be able to miss her in it. I shrug.
Okay, but I don't want to hear you're embarrassed the first time someone looks at you a little funny.
And it's bound to happen. I've spent 22 years on this planet, and I've been dressing erratically for at least 15 of them. Still, the pack occasionally gives me a little side eye for my choices.
I won't, she swears.
She will. My wolf calls out the lie.
Let's go then.
I shake off my wolf's words. Of course, my wolf is right. But I owe Indy. So putting up with her current antics is the least I can do. My best friend follows me downstairs and waits patiently by the front door while I scavenge through the junk drawer in the kitchen, looking for enough cash to keep Ariel, Mom, and I fed for another week. The scrap funds are getting low, which makes a gnawing feeling settle in my gut. I'm not sure my mom has been taking enough work lately. I've been supplementing as much as I can, but life isn't cheap. I'm funneling as much.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?